Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you. And thank you, drama team. Wasn't that great? Oh, my goodness. I could really, really get used to that. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that when your word goes out, that it speaks to us in the language of our own hearts. Lord, I don't know the language of each person in this room, but God, you do, and your Holy Spirit will speak. So God, give us ears to hear and hearts to listen. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to do something here. Let's try and see if that helps. I don't know how many Sundays you did not meet when COVID hit. The church I was serving, we did not meet for more than 2 months. And it was really very difficult for us. We didn't have technology the way you do, so people could participate from home. And so that was just really, really difficult, but they're going to get it. They're in the process of trying to get a brand new page so they can just do what they need to do. So I'm thankful for that. But during that time off, I realized that preaching is not something that I do to you. It's not. It's not something I do for you. Preaching to me has become something that we do together. And I love that. And I look forward to that. Isn't it absolutely amazing the ways God chooses to get our attention? It's like a 2x4, right? We could write a book. I'm sure we could write a book, especially those of us that have been here a little bit longer than others. Moses had a terrible stutter, but what was the unique way that God got Moses' attention? The burning bush, right? I'm doing charades. How did God get Jonah's attention? A big fish, you're right. How did God get the wise men's attention? The brilliant star in the sky, correct. How did God get Samuel's attention? Through his still small voice, right? Right. How did God get your attention? And how is God getting your attention now? Isn't that great that we have a God that's so loving that'll do anything in the world to get your attention, or even bless you in a car wash? He just wants to get your attention, and he knows your love language. He knows you. He just knows you. And I thank God every time I preach that the Holy Spirit helps you hear in the language of your heart, just like that happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost. Hi, husband. Before I met Frank, I fell in love for the first time. Sorry, honey. But I fell in love for the first time, and my boyfriend actually got saved and broke up with me. true story. A year later, another young man broke up with me. But he didn't break my heart, because to be honest, my heart was still broken from the first breakup. It was through my broken heart that Jesus Christ entered my heart and life. He didn't need a broken heart to enter. He doesn't need anything. But he used my broken heart to enter my life. And ever since that night, every time my heart would get broken, Frank, Jesus, who lives inside my heart, would comfort me and would strengthen me. And I give thanks for that. Once Jesus moves in, he doesn't move out, does he? No. Why in the world would God choose one who persecuted the people who believed in his son Jesus? Why would God choose someone like that? Out of all the people God could have chosen, God chose Saul. God chose Paul. You're going to love this melody. If you ever say anything or write anything, date it. Because you're going to have to go back and clean it up. My first year of seminary, I'm preaching away. Frank and I are serving a two-point charge, Westville and Concord and Champaign County. And I said, now Paul hated God. And you could have hit a pin drop, but I didn't hear it because I was moving on. And needless to say, there was an older, wiser gentleman in the congregation that reminded me that Paul believed and loved God. It was the Christians that he had trouble with. And I said, I stand corrected. Thank you very much. So I never made that mistake again. I just make new ones every week. But anyway, the truth is, Paul hated people who chose to follow Jesus. How often have you and I felt threatened by others' faith in Christ? Now, be honest. How many times in your life, in my life, have I felt threatened by someone else's faith in Jesus Christ? My best friend in seminary, well, a colleague of Frank's, Becky, we were friends for a few years, and she never told me that she prayed in tongues. She never told me that. She had listened to me wrestle about having relatives who had that gift and I didn't, and I felt so inferior and I felt so frustrated. And on our last night together, we're speaking at the World Day of Prayer in Southern Ireland. She did the We Shall Behold Him in sign language. It was just so much fun. And on the way home, she told me that she would continue to pray for me, that she too had the prayer language. And I said, Becky, why in the world didn't you ever tell me that? She said, Kim, you were so struggling with a lesser gift. She said, the most important gift is salvation in Jesus Christ, and I didn't want you to struggle over a lesser gift. That was grace to me, because, I mean, I just poured my heart out to her. What a dear friend she was to me. You and I need to, and I think of others that, have made me feel frustrated in the faith, that have gifts that I don't have. But you know what? You and I don't have all the gifts, do we? You have this gift, you have this gift. Together we're the body of Christ and we have the gifts. We need to focus on fanning into flame the gift that is in you. Don't worry about everybody else. Fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Why in the world would God Almighty take Paul's sight away only to restore it later? Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't to me. Why would he do that? God would not only give Paul back the eyes he once had. No, God never gave him back the same eyesight he had before that moment. God would give him new eyes that could see others the way God sees them. God would give Paul a new heart to love the lost the way Jesus did. God in Christ Jesus would give Paul a new mind and a new understanding. People, I tell you what, we have got to have teachable spirits if we're ever going to learn something. And if the day ever comes when you think you know it all, you have lost that teachable spirit. Maybe that's why God keeps us humble and we say things like, Paul, hate God. Paul certainly had a new mind and a new understanding. You know, when you and I stand under Jesus Christ, God teaches us, doesn't he? When we choose not to be above the Lord, but we sit under him and we learn at his feet, he teaches us wonderful, wonderful things. To this day, there are many scholars that believe that the thorn in Paul's flesh was actually pain that he had in his eyes. And Dr. Luke would minister to him. Many people believe that. Not everybody, but many people do. Paul truly had learned that his weaknesses were made perfect in God's strength. You know that to be true, don't you? I know that to be true. God's will is bigger and better than our will. Amen? I'm glad to hear an amen there. Glad to hear an amen. When I say amen, that's your chance to say amen. I told Frank, I said, I say amen and nobody's amening back. Oh, I got to tell you something. My first church, two-point charge, Emmanuel in Circleville. And there are these two little old ladies, Eva and, oh, how could I, what? Maneva. Anyway, so I'm up there preaching one of my very first sermons, and all of a sudden, help for Jesus! I had never been in a church where anyone did that. I totally lost my train of thought. I couldn't even continue. And you know, a year and a half later when I left to go to seminary, I missed that more than anything. You know, I know people pray for you and you're up there and they're saying, God help us, because we got to listen to this. But you pray for the preacher too. But I missed Ethel and Maneva saying, help her, Jesus. Just, they were from God's Bible College in Cincinnati. And I think they came over on the ark. They were awesome. But anyway, so when I say amen, I'm trying to get you to agree with me. Okay, so be it, Lord. We awaken with new eyes to others who are different. Perhaps they dress funny, they act funny, they smell funny. You know, Frank and I, we don't have a bathtub or a shower where we live. So I'm kind of glad you wear masks. We do clean ourselves, but I mean, it's just kind of tough right now. But you know, we never act funny, do we? We never dress funny. I bet you could show me pictures of you 40 years ago and they'd be hysterical. I mean, fashion is so funny, but people do. They act funny, they dress funny, they smell funny. But with these new eyes that God gives us, we get a glimpse through the eyes of God for his great love for people. I don't know about you, but I want that love. I will die seeking the heart of God to love people the way he does. We don't need to feel threatened by those who are different. They are not our enemy. They just are like you and me. They are lost and they need a savior. They lost. They need a savior. They don't need a judge. Have you ever felt like Ananias? Oh, Roger, I loved your character today. Ananias, oh, he's great. God wants you to love people that scare you. You did a good job. You did a good job. You know, oh, Lord, you know that man's been after everybody, and oh, he's scary, and God is asking you to do something that you don't want to do. To reach out to those who scare you, they intimidate you, perhaps they anger you. But to reach out because God has laid it on your heart to be an Ananias and realize who God chooses is who God chooses, and we need to just work with God on what he does. God's ways are not our ways. Because God healed Paul of his blindness. Yes, the blindness he had even before he was blinded by the light. Paul was blinded to the truth that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the promised one, the living Son of God. He couldn't see that. So before he was blinded by the light, he was already blind, wasn't he? He was blind. Who is God sending you to reach out to? Paul's conversion shook up human history. Although Paul's first impression to us, which scared us because people like Paul are just scary, aren't they? They're just really outspoken and they don't like Christians, they don't love Christians, they hate Christians, and they want to beat us up and, you know, divide us. But our first impression of Paul wasn't a good one. But wasn't it wonderful this morning to witness Paul's eyes being opened, scales falling, and seeing God, and being baptized in his name, and following him, and being used by God in human history, perhaps more than any other disciple or apostle. Throughout Paul's ministry, he would write beautiful letters. How many of you love to write letters? Raise your hands high. There's not a lot of you. Okay, well, good. I'm glad to see that. Paul wrote letters to the churches that he had ministered to with Silas and with Timothy and others. Paul would end up writing almost half of the New Testament. Some people say 13 books, some people say 14, but the truth is, out of 27, he wrote mostly half of it. This past week, you received from Emily in your email, and if you didn't receive an email from Emily, please let us know your email address. I know I got one this morning for Nancy. She told me Heaven Wire, so we're going to make sure she gets one of these. But this past week, you received an invitation that you could come prepared to share one of your favorite verses by the Apostle Paul. Like I said, I don't expect you to share the book, the chapter, the verse, because to be honest, I can't remember them. Frank can, but I just can't do it that well. But we would love to hear some of your favorite verses from the Apostle Paul. One time I was in an interview, Melody. It was one of those tough interviews where they separate the men from the boys, okay? You know what I'm saying. You're headed there. And they said, if you could take any verse out of the Bible, what would you take? And I could tell the answer I gave them wasn't what they thought I was going to say, but I said, oh, that is so easy. I would take Romans 10, 14 and 15 out. And they said, well, why? And I said, well, this is why. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they preach unless they are sent? If I could take that verse out of the Bible, I wouldn't be here today. But there was a sending in my soul that I've never been able to get away from. I also have a favorite verse, but I wanted you to share first. So this is the way we're going to do it. You can either come up to the pulpit and share, or stand up loudly and share, but share, but try to share loudly, because I can't wait to hear some of a favorite verse or two. Like, it doesn't have to be perfectly memorized, but just something that just is precious to you. Anyone have those things today? Okay.
Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and live according to his purpose.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Beautiful. Okay, Debbie.
Not that I can speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. That's Philippians.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Go ahead. Okay.
This is not my favorite, but I saw it in there and I thought it kind of felt good to me because of the COVID we're going through.
Okay.
Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. My Aunt Nancy just texted me right before worship and said, Kimmy, give him hope. Linda, you just gave him hope. Thank you. Good, my Aunt Nancy. Okay, someone else? Okay, Tyler.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I read that every morning. Kind of varies between the versions, but just, don't let anxiety take control of you and be thankful for everything.
Okay, amen. Thank you, Tyler. Karen, let's
hold
your hand up.
I just looked up a bunch of verses online, and that 1 John 4:4 is good. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Debbie.
Because I did not look at my email, but I don't know the exact verse, but it's in one of the Corinthians, letter to the Corinthians, that God anoints you, that he loves us so much, and through through that, we then love others. And it is a prayer, part of a prayer that I pray for my friends, because I feel His love. I know that He loves everyone else.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, back there, I see a hand. Is that Judy's hand?
Yeah. Judy? Tell us about the ones for all the weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is no memory, you know, that doesn't boast, or is patient or something.
Teach no right or wrong. No preach. Thank you. Thank you. If you're raising your hand, you got to raise it higher because I can't see. Okay. Anyone else have anything? Well, can I share you my favorite one? And it's not a famous one. It's not one that you're going to see in embroidery or on bookmarks. But to me, this is it. Paul and Timothy Silas wrote the
church in Thessalonica in their very first letter. They penned these words. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. I am here today because I became dear to someone, and they loved me to Jesus Christ. So that's my philosophy of ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. You're going to hear it many times, and I'm afraid. I'm going to preach it till it's in the ground. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, the Apostle Paul was used by you, such a surprising choice, such a confounding choice. But God, you not only saw Paul before, but you saw Paul after, and the new Paul in Christ that would become a disciple to the Gentiles. Gentiles like you and me out here today, not born of Jewish faith. The outsiders, not knowing the way, not knowing the truth, not knowing the life. Lord, thank you for surprising us with who you choose. Lord, thank you for anointing him in such a way that the letters he's written have ministered to us as we have marinated our souls in the words that you gave Paul. Lord, thank you for Brother Paul. Thank you for the difference you made in his life and the difference that you have used him to make a difference in all of human history. In your name we pray. Amen.